Pastor Ray Bentley says it's up to us as believers to listen, to hear, to grow.
And it is possible if you don't engage God, when you come to church, you don't enter into the worship, you don't humble yourself to hear the word, let it convict you, and separate and search your heart. You can come, sit through the motions, hear the deal, walk out, and you walk out of church angry and disappointed. There's no way to live a life.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We can listen to a study and not really hear. We can read the Bible and not really digest its truth. We can go through the motions but never really let our faith grab a hold of us. Today, Pastor Ray helps us get to the point of surrender, when Jesus doesn't just take part in our life, he takes over.
All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. There's only 2 points to the message, verses 10 through 12, how God is love, and then the problem with hatred, verses 13 through 15, and why we are compelled to love one another. So verse 10, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, he writes, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness, or right living, or right actions, a right heart, right in the truth, is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother," or we can add his sister, or her sister. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous." We must love one another, for love is of God. And we say we're born again, we have the Spirit of God in us, then it's our new nature to love. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Hey, this is nothing new. We are to love, and we're to love one another. And John was writing because there were those in the fellowship who were not being loving to and toward one another. And he goes on in the next verse to talk about Cain, who ends up murdering his brother. Well, not only is that not love, it means that if you don't love, you are not in the middle of somewhere, but you are moving toward hatred. And he, you know, Cain ended up murdering his brother. Murder is the lowest level that a human being can fall into, because now you have just destroyed the image of God. For every man, woman, and child is made in the image and after the likeness of God. So when you murder someone, you've just fallen to the level of the existence of Satan. That's where Satan lives, and that's where he dwells. Because Jesus said, the devil is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. John chapter 8, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning. So now again, John is saying, go back to our beginnings. Our beginnings go back to God. Our beginnings go back to John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe and trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's the message of God's love. And that's why Jesus was sent to us. I mean, the heart of Jesus is incredible. Now, Cain is an example of a life of hatred. This is the guy to avoid like the plague. So what I want to do is I want to, since he's referenced here by John, this is where it went wrong, where it went bad, right in the very beginning. We're talking right after Adam and Eve and, you know, their two sons. We're going back to the very, very beginnings, guys. Powerful lesson. So I want you to go back with me. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. And I want to read to you the story of Cain and Abel from Genesis 4, verses 1 through 16. We're only a few paragraphs from the beginning. It says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." So Abel was a shepherd, Cain is a farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel, means he received Abel and his offering. But the Lord did not respect or receive Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin crouches at the door, lies at the door. And its desire, sin's desire, is for you, but you should rule over it." Verse 8, "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' He said, 'I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And he said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.'" Boy, there's a powerful one. Anytime blood is involved and death occurs, the blood cries from the ground to God. Because the Bible says in Leviticus 17, I believe verse 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. "So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on them sevenfold." And the Lord then set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Let's take a moment and talk about this just for a little bit. The opposite of loving your brother is hating your brother. I want you to note, first of all, Cain and Abel both had the same parents. Cain and Abel not only both had the same parents, but I want you to also note they both brought sacrifices to God. In other words, Cain is not presented as an atheist. He not only believed in God, he talked to God, he heard God. There is a relationship thing going on to some extent, but not a personal one. And the point is this: those who belong to the devil pretend to be true believers. And this is a frightening thought. It means that it's possible to actually be a child of the devil and yet attend religious gatherings like church, as did Cain. They may even, bring offerings. They give some donations. But these things in and of themselves or by themselves do not make a person born again. There has to come a definite moment in time where you personally ask Christ to come into your life. That's for us today. But then with Cain, he had exited God out of his life and he hated his brother. So we would say this: the real test of whether or not we are born again is, do we love our brothers and do we love our sisters? And it is here where Cain fails the test. So now we have to recognize the facts. Cain's spiritual father was the devil. And his actions and his attitudes really came from the devil. He murdered his brother, and then he lies about it. Okay, read Genesis chapter 4, verse 9 with me. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' He said, 'I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?'" Well, that's not a loving attitude, is it? So it's kind of like you read this story, and at first glance, you go, poor Cain. I mean, the guy, you know, he was a farmer. He had, you know, some crops. That's what he brought. Abel's he's a shepherd or whatever. He's got some animals, so they kind of both bring what they have. And then God says, okay, you're cool, Abel, and accepts it. And then with Cain, nah, not good enough. Why? And it doesn't really explain it, and it just kind of leaves God looking a little bit unfair. So what is the difference? What's really going on here? How can we fill in this story to give it some understanding? I want you to note this. The difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering, and we don't even have to guess. The Bible actually gives us the answer in the New Testament. It says that the difference was faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. "And our faith is always based on the revelation that God has given. And I believe that God had given definite instructions to Adam and to Eve, who then were able from God to pass on to Cain and Abel exactly and definitely and specifically how God was to be worshiped. And that was through blood. That was through a blood sacrifice. Put it this way, Cain rejected God's word and decided to worship God in his own way. And believe it or not, that is the devil's thinking. Why do I have to do it that way? I have a feeling that when Abel came, he was engaged with God. His eyes were upon the Lord, and he's looking at this animal, this poor innocent animal, and it has to be killed and sacrificed, and he puts it on the altar, and there he prays and he realizes his own sin, and he's saying, "Oh God, I'm so sorry. I know that something's terribly wrong between us, and please accept my offering. I'm so sorry. Thank you. I love you. Forgive me." He's engaged with God. He's worshiping God. And so we find that God's blessing accepts that offering. And then Cain comes along, and all he's thinking about is my brother. I don't like my brother. I despise my brother. He thinks he's better than me. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do it my own way. And there it is. And he never engages God personally or relationally, and he just walks off. And God's looking down going, "Well, hello, you weren't even thinking about me. Something is really wrong with you, Cain, and what I just saw in your offering is going to have an impact in your relationship with your brother." And that's what was terribly wrong and what was terribly missing. This reveals that Cain's relationship was not from his father God, but from the devil. For that is what Satan always does. He turns people away from the revealed will of God, "You must do it this way," and says, "Well, why don't you do it your own way? Why can't we worship God another way? Why does it have to be the cross? Why does it have to be the blood? Why does it have to be only this way? Why can't we approach God in 100 different ways or 1,000 different ways or do whatever we want and approach God?" That's exactly the demonic, satanic philosophy that Cain bought into that ultimately ended up bringing his brother to be murdered. In the Old Testament, it was in the book of Judges when it was a miserable time. You know, families were falling apart and there was greed and there was violence and there was, you know, commerce had broken down and immorality and everything else, and families were a mess. It says, "And every man did that which was right in his own eyes." That's where it leads to.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. Emails from listeners help us know if we're making an impact, if we're helping those who listen. And it's such an encouragement when you write to us, like this man did.
"Dear Pastor Ray, I listen to your radio show every day on my way to work, and it really, truly helps me get through. I'm fighting my own personal demons. Nothing too crazy, but I absolutely love your radio program. So thank you, and God bless."
How have Pastor Ray's studies touched your life? Send him an email today at ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
The results of these two offerings. We don't know what outward sign there was that Abel's was accepted. Some Bible commentators say that as Abel worshiped God and his heart was in it and he engaged with God, that fire fell from heaven and consumed it and it went up. And that when Cain offered his grain offering, it just sat there, nothing happened, and he walked away saying, "Well, see, it doesn't work anyway." Tragic. But Abel walked away feeling that his heart had connected with God, and there was a sense that his life was pleasing to God and that God was pleased with him. Cain went away angry and disappointed. And it is possible if you don't engage God, when you come to church, you don't enter into the worship, you don't humble yourself to hear the word, let it convict you, and separate and search your heart, you can come, sit through the motions, hear the deal, walk out, and you walk out of church angry and disappointed. You just left just like Cain. It's no way to live a life. Instead of listening to God's voice, Cain listened to Satan and ended up killing his brother because envy turns to anger and anger turns to murder. Cain knew that he was evil. He knew his brother was righteous. But rather than repent, he decided to kill his brother. And by the way, this is exactly what would happen several thousands of years later to Jesus. He was brought about by the religious leaders, and Rome played its part as well. But the fact that there were religious leaders, men representing God, that were part of getting Jesus killed, who was innocent. And you know what Jesus said to them? Again, John chapter 8, verse 44, he goes, look, I know you guys. You're chief priests. Not all of them, but some of them. He said, you are of your father, the devil. This is earlier in his ministry. You are of your father, the devil. He is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. They ended up murdering the Son of God, the Messiah. Cain's attitude is the core belief and philosophy of this present world system. And that's why they hate the gospel and they hate Christ and they hate, ultimately, Christians or what they may stand for. It's tragic. Now go with me back to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll close quickly with verses 13 through 15. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, he says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. In other words, there's no in between. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Shows us the relation between hatred and murder. At this point, you may be saying, hey, I never murdered anybody. But for the Christian, hatred in the eyes of God is the same as murder. I like how C.S. Lewis pointed this out in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, even to look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. C.S. Lewis had his own take on that. He said this, he that but looketh on a plate of ham and eggs to lust after it hath already committed breakfast with it in his heart. We're all guilty. We've all been there. You say, well, we've never murdered anyone. Maybe it's just because there's the barrier of if you kill them, you'd go to jail the rest of your life or maybe go on death row. But the question then is this. The question is not so much what did you do as what did you want to do. That's what goes to the heart and the core issue. Remember there was I don't know if you guys saw this. I thought it was odd, funny, and tragic at the same time. There was this guy that lived with bears. He loved bears. He said that bears are really like people and they have emotions. And he went out and he talked to the bears and he counseled with the bears. And he philosophized with the bears. And one day a bear just looked at him and mauled him and killed him. There's a difference. You know, I'm just saying that you cannot, that which, you can cage it, but you cannot deny that those things are there. These verses speak of a settled habit of life. So a believer who is in the practice of loving his brother and his sister, if occasionally, yes, we get angry. We commit that violence within our heart. Oh, I wish I could just get them and, you know, punch them. And yes, we're guilty, but we repent of it. But it's not we don't live there. We don't abide there. We don't let it dwell there. We confess it to the Lord. We say, Lord, pull that root out. Oh, Lord, that feeling. You can't stop that from, you know, you're human, but you can bring it to the Lord. And when you do, you come underneath the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, which has the power to cleanse, heal, and forgive. Nothing else can. That can help change and transform your heart. Now, we're not told that murderers can't be saved. The Apostle Paul himself took a hand in stoning a young man named Stephen. And he says, he admitted, it was my vote that helped murder that young man, that innocent young man. And ironically, that same man was guilty of murder, wrote much of the New Testament. God is a God of amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Hatred does far more damage to you than it does to anyone else. Hatred not confessed puts you into a spiritual and emotional prison. But by grace, he sets us free. Amen? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Now, here's the safest place to do it. Maybe right now, you're in that place. And it happened, you know, it can be different times and seasons in your life. Someone's hurt you. I'm not saying that you know, you haven't been wounded or treated wrong or something that wasn't right. It happens. But now it's what are you going to do with it? And I want to ask, how many of you would say, you know what, there's something in my heart, or there's a hurt that's turning into a bitterness and getting a little bit of a root to it, and it's ugly and I don't like it, and I want to just get rid of it, and I want to give it to the Lord. And I want to be under the blood of the Lamb. I want to be washed, cleansed. I want to be set free and get off that emotional focus and be able to love. Jesus said, love those who persecute you. Bless those who do harm to you or whatever. We have to love even our enemies. That's the whole point. Jesus said even the bad guys love their own kind, but we are different that we love our enemies. So if you are in that place and you need to, you know, just have God help you with your heart, it's okay, it's normal, it happens to all of us at one time or another. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would pull the roots of bitterness out and the lies. And I pray for healing. Lord, a lot of times it happens because of things that are not fair and that are not right, and that could be even downright evil. But God, we have to go to another standard, and our standard is Jesus. And we pray, God, forgive us of our bitterness, or forgive us of letting our hurt turn into anger. And, you know, that can be at all different grades of anger. But we don't want to be ruled by it. And we bring it before you, and we ask you to forgive us and cleanse us and wash us in your blood and heal us and be able to forgive them. And even to pray that you would help them and forgive them and heal them and change them, and whoever and whatever they did, have mercy upon them just as you have us. And let us be cleansed and clean in the eyes of our Father. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' worthy and precious name, amen.
Practical insights from our case study of Cain and Abel today here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of Pastor Ray Bentley's study, get in touch and ask for Love is Surrender. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for your gift of any amount. Just mention the title, Love is Surrender. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 John on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we hear from people who listen to your studies each day, and they might be surprised at how much those letters, those emails, really encourage us.
Yes. You know, look, we put the radio on and we put it out, and it's free for everybody to enjoy, to listen to, hopefully to get blessed and encouraged. But it's not like when I am at my church and there's people that walk up and say, oh, I thank you for this or that point that you made, or God really touched me here, there. And I love seeing people, meeting people and whatever. But on the radio or online, it's invisible. I cannot tell you how powerful it is. Nobody writes letters anymore. But, you know, the smallest thing, if you contact us, if you call us, if you email us, if you write us a letter, send just a little card. Hey, it would be it means a lot to me. I see them. I read them. Dave, we try to pass that on to our people here and to the staff and the people that behind the scenes. It's a lot of people that bring this all together. I can't tell you, it means a world of encouragement that we're doing something that's actually making a difference. It's small, maybe to you, but like in our church, when somebody comes up and they go, oh, hi, Pastor Ray, and then I go, well, how did you hear about Maranatha Chapel? Well, I started listening to you about 3 years ago on the radio, and finally, I realized I live in San Diego. I could actually go to your church. I go, wow, it's nice to meet you. That's kind of what it's like. Not everybody throughout the country can actually be here in person, but you can write a letter, you can send a note, write an email or whatever and communicate to us. It just is encouraging. It goes such a long way that it's making a difference in somebody's life somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. So we hope you'll get in touch today. You can write Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com, or we'll give the mailing address again in just a moment. And keep in mind, to those who can send a donation right now, we want to send a copy of Pastor Ray's new novel, On the Mountain of the Lord, co-written by best-selling author Bodie Taney. It's a thrilling story that also uplifts you in your faith. So send your donation today to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 John. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.